This is 7AD, and it's time for our weekly Power Savers chat with Adrian from DMS Energy. Hello, mate.
Good morning, Darren.
Okay, so high voltage, great for AC/DC.
Yeah.
But there's a downside for most other things.
There is, yeah. Voltage rise and voltage drop, I guess. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, this is the part that is generally missed during the sales process and design of solar systems. And as the days get longer and brighter, we see a lot of solar systems production curtailed by voltage rise. In layman speak, the clients are not getting what they paid for.
Yeah.
So what is voltage drop and rise? To answer that, we need to ask, what is voltage and current? You know, so we're going to go back to the old water analogy here, Darren.
Okay.
So thinking of electricity like water, volts would be pressure in a pipe.
Yep.
And current would be the water flowing through it. So pressure is resistance to flow. So if we had a pipe connected to a tap and that tap was turned off and had 230 psi of pressure in that pipe, what would happen, Darren, once I opened that tap? Any ideas?
Pressure would drop.
Exactly. The pressure would drop as I've removed the bulk of resistance to flow by opening the tap and letting the water run out. And if I shut that tap, the pressure would bounce back to where it started.
And that's why it's called current in the first place, I assume.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Yep.
So the same thing happens in our homes. When we turn on a large electrical load, such as a hot water cylinder, we see the site's electrical voltage drop and then spring back when turned off again.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, with solar, once again, we're using the water analogy, we are attempting to pump water back into that pipe. So to be able to physically to do this, we have to introduce or pump that water into that pipe at a higher pressure that's in that pipe. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So in this case, it would have to be higher than, say, 230 psi to make this happen. Electrical voltage we should be seeing in our homes is 230 to 240 volts. And the solar inverter in this case is our pump. It has to introduce the electricity into the grid at a higher voltage to force our excess solar energy or current back onto the grid. However, this can be problematic as I have this thing called electrical resistance or impedance. And the further we are away from the transformer on the street, or if we have really small conductors or small pipes, if we stick with that analogy, between our switchboard and transformer, the inverter has to keep pushing up the voltage to overcome the resistance to enable us to push our excess power onto the grid.
Right.
And this is where all the problems start. At 253 volts, inverters start ramping down production, and at 260 volts, they turn off. We see homes with high voltage to begin with. This is not that uncommon. I regularly see homes with the voltages starting at around 250 volts. That means I only have 3 volts of headroom before the inverter wants to ramp down or back off or shut down. That could be as little as 2 kilowatt of export, Darren. And if you've got a 5 kilowatt inverter, that's 3 kilowatt of energy you cannot sell. So you're not getting what you paid for.
Yeah.
We also see homes with only 230 volts, but as they are so far away from the transformer or the cables that interact with the network are so small, we might see up to 10 volts rise for every 2 kilowatt of export. Which means technically, yes, we could install a 5 kilowatt inverter and export the majority of the power before it starts ramping down. But we are exceeding the 2% voltage rise calculations as designed as we're meant to stick to. Though people are asking for bigger and bigger solar systems these days with electric cars on the horizons, batteries, high heating loads, and these sites with really high resistance between them and the transformers struggle to have large solar systems.
Okay.
Yeah. Another major contributor is too much solar in one place. As solar becomes more popular, we are seeing multiple systems trying to export their excess energy at the same time at the same place. Imagine this, one inverter is pumping power back to the grid at, say, 245 volts. The inverter next door is trying to push it out at 246 volts. And then you've got another one down the road even higher again, and they're all fighting each other to pump excess power back to the grid. And the voltage just rises higher and higher until they start backing off or shut down altogether. So what can be done about it? Well, the most important thing is, and the first thing is to identify, will the site have a voltage rise issue and how bad will it be? If you're getting a quote for solar, make sure you have a site visit that either a fault loop impedance test or a voltage drop test is done to determine how your site's going to perform. If we find a site that has these issues, what can be done about it? A blunt fix is to limit export. We might have a 5 kilowatt inverter, but we have calculated to contain voltage rise, we need to limit export to 3.5 kilowatts. So that's what we do. The solar can still hit 5 kilowatt to meet site loads, but it will never ever export more than 3.5 kilowatts. okay, you're missing out on some of your solar, but your inverter's still going. You know, you're better off an inverter doing...
So you're playing safe.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, an inverter that's shut down does nothing. So we can easily do this these days with smart inverters. We can put timers or demand control devices to switch on heavy loads to direct excess power into the hot water cylinders, heaters, air conditioning, instead of sending it to the grid. A lot of things we can do. We can also program batteries, Darren, to soak up excess energy instead of sending it to the grid, which alleviates this issue. Then you can use it over night time.
Yeah.
In fact, we can just do tons of things to address this, but the most important thing is to identify the issue at the very start of the design quotation process to either reset expectations or put in strategies to mitigate losses due to voltage rise. Now, Darren, this is a subject we've all heard about. It's been on the news from time to time, but it's never been called voltage rise. In South Australia, they have so much sort of much heavier saturation of solar than Tassie. In fact, their whole state was ran by solar panels the other day, which was quite exciting.
Yep. Yeah.
The other side of the coin, though, is how can their aging network that's never been designed to deal with multiple sources of generation cope, and in some cases it cannot. So South Australian networks do not have that ability to sink that excess energy into other places, like other networks. So they have demanded the ability to turn off people's solar systems to prevent damage to the network. So if something really bad's happening, they can literally send a signal back through the network and turn everyone's solar off.
Wow.
Yep. So Tasmania networks, we're sort of lucky. We're built around multiple hydroelectric generators, so it's such as more robust than any mainland network. And once we have pumped hydro storage, we have an active energy sink to help grid control, plus TAS networks are great to deal with and are very proactive in fixing voltage rise issues. So we don't know how lucky we are. In saying that, our network is not immune to these issues. And as solar designers and installers, we must perform due diligence with every solar site we quote and design. And I imagine there'll come a time in the future when we'll see more network limitations on what solar we can have. But right now, we have a very flexible design rules, and those that get in now will more likely get the solar system they want as opposed to be told what they can have in sometime in the future. So anyway, Demas Energy, Tasmanian Installer of the Year for LG in 2020. Northwest Coast leading solar designer for on-grid, off-grid and commercial solar systems.
56 Sheffield Road, Sprayton, and the number is 1300 502 599. On the net, dmsenergy.net.au, or have a look on Facebook. Good on you, mate. Talk to you next week.
Cheers, Darren.